out of the, get out of the chair.
You know, if we get before we set it up.
It's anticipation, I mean, standing up. Please stand in body, how I can find it. In body or in spirit?
Oh, yeah, ding, ding, ding. See, he reminds me, I remind him. This is the day that our Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
To you I lift up my eyes.
O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Our eyes look to the Lord our God.
Until he has mercy on us.
It is good for us to be here today. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another by keeping silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may walk in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listen, God is calling through the word, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and
Jesus gave his that day, share the news that he came. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from the book of Ezekiel, the second chapter. He said to me, O mortal, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and sat on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me, and they and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there was a prophet among them, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the 12th chapter. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weakness. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But if I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
He left that place after having healed the young girl and brought her back to life. He left that place and came to his hometown, Nazareth, and Jesus and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath day, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" They took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a rumor that I got a new nickname while I was at camp. Do not believe rumors. These are Shawnee Bear. I don't know why I would have gotten that nickname, but these are all lies. Our gospel selection today seems odd, doesn't it? I mean, I think it does. Two stories that when I first read these stories, they seem to be unrelated. And it's not just me who thinks that. The Bible, it comes with these headings. Now, granted, these headings are man-made, not, God-made, right? but they come with two different headings. The first one says the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth, and the second says the mission of the 12. Now, so unless the mission of the 12 is to go to Nazareth and beat up all the people that rejected Jesus, these stories seem unrelated, I think. Except for after I've read this story and these stories over and over, I notice a very fine thread. It's almost invisible. A thread that I almost missed, admittedly, that connects these stories to one another and back to us, I think, nearly 2,000 years later. To understand what connects them, I think we must first unpack each of these individual stories. And I must say, this rejection of Jesus story has, since the very first time I felt that very slight tug on my heart calling me to ordained ministry, this story has resonated with me on a deeply personal level. So, real or not, there was still is a voice in this head of mine that says, Sean? A pastor? And it's honestly tough to argue with that voice sometimes. Now, there's high school me. This is the guy who may or may not have aided and abetted the collection, the nighttime collection, of course, of a few road signs in his day. Not the important ones like the stop signs, but just the ones that tell you what the roads are. And I may or may not have illuminated some of those night skies with an occasional moon. So that guy, probably not pastor material, so maybe he'll mature, right? So early to mid-20s, I may or may not have been the guy who put a Sean-sized hole in a wall at my friend's wedding. I mean, this wasn't malicious or anything. I may have stumbled into it while holding one of my friends while having some beverages. And my wife may or may not have been telling me throughout the night, hey, Sean, maybe you shouldn't have any more. My wife of less than a year, by the way. That guy's probably not pastor material, is he? And then there was Factory Sean. More on him in a moment. And together they shout to me, Sean? A pastor? Now, these imagined voices, though they are loud, they are forgiving in comparison to this one solitary voice, a voice that cries out above the rest. And that voice is my own voice. You see, I have the whole picture of me. I know myself and my entire broken sinfulness from, well, until I can remember all of the sinful things I started doing until now, right? I know high school Sean and all the stories I didn't share with you. I know young adult Sean and all the stories that I will not be sharing with you. I know factory Sean and all the stories that I will not be sharing with you, although I will say I could weave brilliant tapestries of four-letter words together in production meetings. That was a beautiful thing. Maybe. I know the Sean who throws things when he gets mad, as does maybe some people over there. I know the Sean who is proud, the Sean who is grumpy, the obstinate, the angry, and even the cruel version of myself. You know, love is patient, love is kind, and all of those things. I know myself to be all of the opposite of those things. So when I'm being called to be a pastor, I say to myself, me? A pastor? Really? The idea of being a pastor to myself was and still is scandalous. Scandalous is the word I use for it. So back to this first story today. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And the people of Nazareth took offense at Jesus, except for this word, offense, does not do the Greek word justice, because the Greek word is scandalizo. Anyone think of an English word that kind of sounds like? Scandal, scandalous. This Jesus, the son of a carpenter, who was a carpenter himself, was a nobody. Actually, he was less than a nobody, because who was he born of? A woman who wasn't even married. A woman who probably should have been stoned to death, if we're being honest. And this Jesus, he has the audacity to come back here to Nazareth and preach to us in the synagogue, to teach us, to tell us what is right and wrong. Who does he think he is? Jesus is scandalous. That is the only word for it. And after they told him that, he did something that was completely unexpected, at least in my view. He said, "You know what? Forget you, Nazarenes. I don't care what you think. Believe or don't believe, I have work to do, and I don't have much time." As Mark's gospel constantly reminds us, there is no time to waste, because the kingdom of God is here right now. And Jesus Christ is the bringer of that kingdom. And Jesus is clear today. I don't have time to plead and beg you to follow me. I must move on, because there are others who haven't heard this message, my message, and my time here is very, very short. Jesus did everything he could for these Nazarenes, and now he must move on, and quickly. And as we transition to that other story from today, perhaps thumbing his nose at these Nazarenes, Jesus says, "You know what? Watch this," as in, "Hold my beer. Not only can I cast out demons and cure the sick, those that I give authority to, they can do it too." Wow. They can do those deeds of power that you don't think I can do by my authority. But there's a catch. And this catch we see is the thread that I think ties these stories together and ties these stories to us today. If the disciples, if they are not welcomed, if they are not received, what are they to do? They are not to stick around, are they? They are to dust off the feet, dust off the dust from their feet. They are not to stick around. They are not to try to convince or persuade or beg and plead. They are to shake off the dust, as in take none of that failure with you. Leave that failure behind in the dust and move on. There will be people who do not receive the message from us. There will be people who do not receive the message from us. Our hope is that there's going to be someone coming from behind us that will also give the message, and maybe, just maybe, they will receive the message from them. But we cannot dwell in the place of these failures, because if Jesus the Christ had a Nazareth, then most certainly, most surely, we will too. There are certain people or groups of people who will never, ever, 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 ever be able to hear the good news coming out of my mouth, because I'm the guy they knew from the factory, or I'm the guy that is the eternal immature high schooler, or the guy that was mildly obnoxious when he drank too much. And still, God shouted, "Yes!" It took shouting, back and forth shouting, and God had to yell really, really loud, because as you know, I am really, really loud, but God shouted louder than me, "Yes, Sean, you a pastor." Because, Sean, there are more places than just Nazareth, and it is to these places that I am calling you. And it is to these places that I have been called and sent by God, where I have been given authority by God to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is here now today. And I am in that kingdom, by the way. It was brought into being by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That kingdom has arrived, and it will come into its fullness when Jesus returns. And because we do not know, we cannot know, and only the Father knows when Jesus will return, we are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus' return with urgency, as if the day of the return is tomorrow. We cannot dwell on our Nazarenes, the people that we cannot reach the good news with. In our vocations, throughout our daily lives, we are called to proclaim that good news, the good news of Jesus Christ, by what we do and how we do it out in the world. But sometimes, even when we try our very best, we are speaking to a Nazarene and we are rejected. We will be rejected and it hurts. And that inner monologue begins. The one that for me sounds like you, a pastor. You all have that inner monologue. You know what it sounds like, the inner monologue that sounds like you are not enough to be doing the thing that you are called to do, that God has called you to. Maybe it sounds like you are the least qualified person on this entire planet for that job. You ever hear that voice? Maybe it's your own voice. Maybe it's another person's voice saying it to you. The thread that ties these seemingly separate narratives together tells us that our most faithful response, yes, for ourselves and how we approach our lives, but also for God's kingdom and how we proclaim God's kingdom is this: forget about the Nazarene. Someone else will come and proclaim to them. But you forget about the Nazarenes. Because to them, our proclamation, it is scandalous. And guess what? Our proclamation better be scandalous, because our proclamation is Jesus Christ crucified and risen. It is a proclamation that makes no sense to this world. It is a scandalous proclamation, and people will not hear it. So we are to shake the dust off our sandals and leave that failure in the dust. Leave that failure in the dust behind us. Shake it off of our sandals and make Jesus known to the next person and the next by what we say and what we do. Because the kingdom of God is here today. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we have been called and sent to proclaim this good news, to cast out demons and cure the sick, however this might look in our separate but equally important vocations. Similar to last week, I ask us collectively here at First Lutheran and as part of our Lutheran partnership, do we have a Nazareth? Do we have a Nazareth? A place where our time and energy and effort is just not bearing fruit. And what might be the towns and the villages that Jesus is sending us to instead? Because time is short and they need to hear the good news too. What might these missions and ministries be? Where might Jesus be sending us? If we don't know, how might we find out? So I come with some good news today. I am not worthy of being a pastor. At least not by anything that I have done or not done. But Jesus, through his death and resurrection, he has made me worthy for this calling, to this vocation to which he has called me. God cried out very loudly, I might say, above all the other voices, including my own, those voices that were trying to stifle my voice with their lies that they were spreading. And it is the same Jesus that makes each of us, each of you, worthy to your called vocations. none of which are more or less important than mine, none of which are more or less important than any clergy, including Pope. All vocations, when faithfully discerned, bear the marks of us having been called and sent by God out into this world. And once we embrace the voice of God, the voice above all other voices, perhaps then we can see that the call was never to Nazareth. As for me, Jesus sent me here for a time such as this. So I ask, where is Jesus sending you? Maybe you're already there, and if so, great. Where is Jesus sending you? Where is Jesus sending First Lutheran? Where is Jesus sending our Lutheran partnership? And if we don't know, there is still a call there, right? The call then becomes to pause and to listen. To listen for the voice that will always boom over and against and above the self-doubt and the fear. And that is the voice of God. The voice of God is always there, always present. That voice, that call is there. I can assure you of that. And once we hear it, once you hear it, we must hurry on, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and we have been called to proclaim this good news. We have been called to proclaim Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. That is a scandalous message. What a beautiful message it is to proclaim. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
To join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father
Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
So before we do our intercessory prayers today, I'd like to ask if there are any additional ones. I currently have for the family and friends of Joe Moss, the family and friends of Jim Nye Jr., the family and friends of Grace, who is Melanie Mason's other grandma. What's Grace's last name?
Hoskins.
Hoskins?
Hoskins.
K with a K. Yeah, see, I had it. Maybe.
My family.
Your family?
Yeah, my sister's
dying. Ed. Okay. And people who are in the path of Hurricane Beryl, who have either are cleaning up from it and recovering their lives, or those who prepare for its arrival. And also, I'm unsure how many of you are aware of it. I actually just found out about it today. Good Hope Lutheran, their steeple was actually impacted by that tornado a while back, and they are not currently worshiping there. And trying to figure out what to do with said steeple, which sounds like it might be coming down. So as they're dealing with that and that time of transition, let's keep them in our prayers. Any other prayers this morning? Seeing and hearing none, let us pray. One, in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer.
Glorious God, you gave your disciples authority and sent them into a world of believers, unbelievers, and everyone in between. Equip and send us, the people of First Lutheran, and your whole church to arise in our teaching, our praying, our healing, and our doing here in Galleon, Crawford County, and beyond. Make all your faithful people powerful in weakness and strong in grace. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. Life-giving God, your fingers trace the heavens and your hands mold the earth. Where there is drought, bring nourishing rain. Where there is devastation from fire and flood, bring relief. We pray for those in the path of Hurricane Beryl. Protect them and keep them safe. For those who have already experienced the wrath of Hurricane Beryl, we pray that they may be safe and are able to begin rebuilding. We thank you for the abundant harvest of wheat and zucchini that this season always brings. We ask for continued blessings of fair weather, that our gardens and our fields might produce their harvest in due time. in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you sent prophets to speak your truth to the leaders of nations. Open the hearts and minds of those who govern to the cries of all who journey with no food or shelter, particularly those who are fleeing violence in Ukraine, Gaza, and Haiti, those seeking freedom, and those in search of community. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. Gracious God, you embrace, your embrace brings wholeness to those who are troubled. Shower with peace and wholeness those for whom we now pray, especially Barb, Aaron, Jane, Noel, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We especially lift to you today Ed, who continues to battle illness, and Mike Snyder. We lift Susie to you for healing and wholeness. We lift Barb's sister and her entire family as she struggles and nears death. We lift to you the family and friends of Joe Moss, the family and friends of Jim Nye Jr., and the family and friends of Grace Hoskins. Please help us to hold these people in our prayers and in our hearts and our loving embrace. Anoint all who suffer in any way with the oil of healing and grant them renewal. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. Eternal God, you gather us into your house of many dwelling places. We give you thanks for our faithful departed. Inspire us by their lives of faith until with them we rest forever at our journey's end. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. We lift especially today to you, O God, the people of Good Hope Lutheran Church in Bucyrus, who are in a process of transition, looking to recover from the tornado that struck their church. Please give them faith and hope in you that they may be able to worship at this time and understand what you are calling to them in the future. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ calls and sends us out into a weary world. And when we ourselves are weary, he calls us back here to this table where all are always welcome. And he says, "Eat, drink, be nourished, be satisfied, and be restored. Come to this table where you are welcome." Broken for you. What happened? This is the body of Christ broken for you. What you do? You are a beloved child of God anyway. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of
Christ, the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of Christ broken for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
I think it's announcement time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And was it that related? It's like, wow, your sermon was short today.
It was really short.
You're welcome. This Wednesday we have First Supper here at 5 p.m. We have Thursday, we have fellowship with our committees at 5:30.
If you're just saying, man, really
If you cannot get a hold of me, Dennis, are you around this week? Get a hold of Dennis. I will get him the number for the camp, and they should be able to get a hold of me, but I'm hoping that I have cell reception. So please reach out should need arise. What other announcements are there this morning? Yes, ma'am.
The sign-up sheet for the meal is on the table.
All right. There is a sign-up sheet still for the meal that is this Wednesday. So take a look at that on your way out.
Carl is going to meet shortly after the service today.
Okay. A short meeting of council after service. If you are able to stay, there are no decisions, zero decisions being made, just a how do we, it's very limited, but just how do we, what do we do next so we can actually make a decision Thursday? So, anyway, if you're able to stay for that, great. If not, yeah, great. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none. Please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy.